There we go. Moments with the Master. We will be wrapping up this lesson here. We are talking about and by the way, this is a transforming moment if you were the guy with leprosy, amen? And this is something that God has done in a very special way. And we have already looked at a couple of things here. We looked at the condition of the leper is where we began. We saw his disease. He was, the Bible made it clear, full of leprosy. He was in the final stages before death would take its toll on him. I'm sure the stench, the damage that was done was unbelievable, unbelievable. And then we saw his desire, that he had heard that the Savior was around, and he went to him and he split that crowd because Jesus was teaching. There was a great multitude. He walked right down there. The Bible never even records that he hollered unclean or anything. He just plowed through, and probably the stench let everybody know before he ever got there. And he had a desire, and he simply asked the Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what a desire he had. And went to the right person for that too, did he not? And then we saw the following thing was the compassion of the Lord. And then how would the Lord respond to him? And we saw two things there. We saw it was revealed by a touch. Jesus could have simply spoke, I will, be thou clean. Would the guy have been healed? He sure would have. Jesus went the extra mile in just reaching out. Remember, the guy came, fell down on his knees right before him, and he was just within arm's reach. And Jesus says, touched him and put his hands on him, which he had probably hadn't felt a touch in years of another human. He says, I will be thou clean. Wow. Man, instantaneously, he was transformed. And the Bible says his skin was made new. And this man did the right thing. He went, and it says he blazed abroad. Man, that's like watching a cartoon where, you know, cartoons, those guys can be taken off running, their legs are just spinning and leaving a fire mark behind them. That guy was a blazing abroad what God had done for him. And that brings us to today as we finish up this area of transforming moment for this man. This is another one of those cool things, folks. This is not a parable. This is a true story of a true man's life that you and I will meet one day. And you won't recognize him because he won't be leprous up there in heaven, amen? He wasn't even leprous down here until after the Lord touched him. But, you know, it's going to be interesting who we're going to meet along the way. And I don't know what extent our knowledge will be, whether we'll have to know, greet people and introduce ourselves. I don't know, or if I already know who is who when we get there. I don't know. But I do know one thing. If we don't know who he is, and you introduce yourself to him and tell him about when, you know, your life and how God transformed you, he's going to start telling you, well, let me tell you about me. What Jesus did for me in just a moment, in a desire, he transformed me. And you will get to meet this guy. Isn't that kind of cool? That you will get to meet this. And by the way, let me just remind you, that guy has an incredible testimony, does he not? Well, so do you. Yours is just as important as his. Because there was a time when Jesus reached out and touched you and healed you of, remember, leprosy is a type of sin, and healed you and cleansed you and made you whole. Amen? And so that's where we're at today. We're going to look at this last one that we're going to consider in this, the command of the law. And in Mark chapter 1, we have been reading in verses 40, beginning at verse 40. If you'd follow along with me, we'll read it right down to the end of the chapter. And then we're going to look on a couple of verses here. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And it's interesting, he says it's for a testimony unto them. Who's the them? Verse 45. And he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Man, we're talking about people came from everywhere. You're talking about coming out of the woodwork. He couldn't even go into a city, so he had to stay out where there wasn't buildings and stuff that would distract. I want you to notice here in verse 43 and verse 44 something that we want to close out this study on. It's what Jesus says after he's cleansed the man. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. And he gives us what he charged him with in verse 44. See thou say nothing to any man. He failed that part, by the way, did he not? But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them, unto the priests. Very important here, what's going on. So Jesus clearly charges him. The guy does not listen. He goes out and starts telling everybody what Jesus did. Some of us don't even do that, you know, at all. That what great healing and cleansing Jesus has brought. Even if Jesus charges not to. Maybe that's the reverse, like, you know, how we do with our kids. Don't touch that, and then they touch it. If you touch that, you know, you try to, that reverse psychology. But I want you to notice the command of the law. The command of the law has some teaching on this area of leprosy. We don't have time here to cover it all, but we're going to look at two things, the demands of the law. What did the law demand? And I want you to hold your place here and go back to the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. And as you get to the book of Leviticus, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. You're going to come to Leviticus chapter 14. Now, there are 57 verses in chapter 14. All of them actually should be read, but we don't have the time to do that. So it'll give you something to maybe read a little bit of later today or this evening. The leper, according to Jesus, but more importantly, according to the law, was to go and to present himself to the priest, and he was to get a certificate, if you would, of cleansing on the basis of the ceremony in this chapter, chapter 14. And look what it says in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest." So I just want to get you started. We are understanding, we're establishing that Jesus is pointing back to Leviticus 14. He's letting him know that there are guidelines of what needs to take place to have evidence that you truly are cleansed. Because if you're not, and you go out and have not been verified by a priest, you could spread this leprosy to other people. So there's this guardrail here that we have. Now here in Leviticus 14, you can read it later, and we'll touch maybe on some of it. But here in this chapter, here's what it says ultimately. It allows the leper who has been cleansed to come to the priest, and the priest was to go outside the camp. The leper could not come to the priest. The priest would be notified that there is a person outside the gate, outside the camp, that says that he's cleansed. You need to go out to where he is. You follow me? And the priest would go out to begin the verification stage of this cleansing. It says here in verse number 3, "And the priest shall," look what it says, "go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive, and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him, that is to be cleansed from the leprosy, 7 times. Remember when Elijah told Naaman to go dip in the water? How many times was it?
7 times.
The number of completion. The same role takes place here, where he'll take the blood from there and he'll do it 7 times on this leper. Then he says, verse 7, and he shall sprinkle upon him, that is to be cleansed from the leprosy, 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into an open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days, and it goes from there. So he comes, he has to go outside the camp, wait there, for the priest to come. The priest now hears, he comes out, he has what he needs for it. He takes one of the birds, as you have seen, one of them is killed, and the blood is poured out in running water into a basin bowl. They take the other bird that is alive and they dip it into the blood. And by the way, I want you to understand, it's blood mingled with water that's flowing. Do you all remember a story about that in the Bible, in the New Testament? That when Jesus died upon the cross, the centurion was checking, these guys are not dead. So he went over to Jesus and he took the spear and pierced him. And out flowed blood mingled with water. It's a typology. I would not be surprised if the bird, this is just me, was a dove. And here you have him take the blood. The leper is cleansed with the blood. There's 7 different times he's there. Then they go out into an open field. He takes the live bird and he takes it and he throws it up and it flies. And as it's, by the way, it has blood all over its wings. And as it begins to fly away, the blood is flying off of its wings as it beats them. That's the beginning of all of this. This is what Jesus is describing that he needs to do. What I need you to see in this is very important, what we're talking about here. The priest must help the leper understand the place of his cleansing. He couldn't come to him. The priest had to go to him. The priest could not, the leper could not go where the priest was. The priest had to go where the leper was. And we could not go where the priest was for cleansing in heaven. He came to us. He came unto his own, the Bible says, as many as received him. Jesus came down here to us. Why? To cleanse us. Folks, I want you to see that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, they talk about, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. This is not just things that they're coming up with just to do. This is all pointing to Jesus Christ. You and I cannot go to him. He came to us. There's no way that we could have gone to heaven. So he came to us. Over in the, and you don't need to turn necessarily, but if you're taking notes, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Am I in the right one here? Make sure I'm in the right one. Yeah. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, here it is, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. So even Jesus, because he was about to become sin for us, was outside the camp, shedding his blood. The dove was released, or the bird was released with the blood on it, outside the camp, reminding us of the shed blood of an innocent one for the purpose of cleansing. It's very important. It's all about cleansing. So the Bible says here in Hebrews 13 that Jesus suffered without. He came down from heaven to be where we are so that he could die for us. As that bird was released, that leopard could see the blood being strewn or coming from that bird as it began to bat its wings to fly away. And it reminded him of the price of his cleansing. It reminded him of the price of his cleansing. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the price that's been paid for your deliverance, for your cleansing. Folks, you and I are made clean through the blood of the Lamb. The only element that is allowing you and I to enter in the presence of a holy, holy, holy God is the blood that Jesus Christ shed. The just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring you and I to God. Amen? It's an incredible thing. I'm doing a study right now. I don't know if it'll develop into a message or not. But did you realize that at the beginning of time, man was placed in a garden? Sin entered in the garden by man's will, choice. And then you go into the New Testament and you find the second Adam, he's called, and the second Adam is going to undo what the first Adam did, who brought the curse. He's going to bring redemption and cleansing. And the second garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to Calvary, what took place in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was preparing to create where we had the curse there to bring deliverance here. There was a tree there. There's a tree he was going to. I mean, it's really incredible the similarities that are taking place. I don't know if we'll get it all worked together or not, but it's really, really neat to look at. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood, right? That is what paid your debt. That's what freed you from sin's bondage. That's what cleansed you. The only element that can cleanse you and cleanse me today from our sins is the blood of the Lamb. And here we have a picture of it there. And the leper would see this blood that was dripping and be reminded that that is the price that is paid. Now, just as the leper had his cleansing completed, okay, by the application of the blood, so the sinner is complete in Jesus by the application of the blood. The Jews had to take the blood of a lamb, and the basin ought to be preparation for the exodus and deliverance from death. And they could have the right animal. They could have the right qualifications for the animal. They could slay the animal. They could catch the blood of the animal in the basin. They could put it on their counter and not apply it to the doorposts. and they would have suffered loss that night. It's not the knowledge of what you need to do, it's the application of that knowledge. It is a must. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. Listen to what John writes in verse number 9. This is, by the way, we're in heaven at this point in time. Amen? Verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Look what it says, by the blood. By the blood. How do we know that this is Christians, these are believers singing? Because nobody else can claim, you have redeemed us. You have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. This is a heavenly picture, by the way, of us worshiping God in heaven. Remember, chapter 4 precedes this with the area that John sees a door opened in heaven and he hears the voice saying, come up hither. And John is caught up and the first thing he sees is the throne, 24 elders. You got the Old and New Testament leadership there. And their names are even written on the foundations of the New Jerusalem and on the gates of the city. I'm sorry. I could be wrong on this, but I don't think so. And if I am, I'm still going to heaven anyway, amen? And that is, I am a pre-tribulation person. Because chapters 1 and 1, and then you got verse chapters 2 and 3 is the church where Jesus is writing to his churches. And then he says in chapter 4, after these things, after what things? After the church age. The church is talked about all in chapter 2 and chapter 3. John is caught up. He's in heaven. There's worship taking place around the throne of God. Chapter 5, we get involved in the worship here. We're singing. We're still singing about the blood up there. Who has redeemed us by God, by thy blood. And then he says, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Folks, keep praying your prayer maps. I'm telling you, I think things, God hears prayer. And there's going to be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And whatever their dialects are, they're going to hear the word of God and many will be converted and saved. Use your prayer map daily. God, rebuke the principalities and powers over this area and pray, Father, that you would give your saints boldness and courage to go out with open doors of opportunity to share the faith. And that might not seem like it's necessary, but some of the countries I'm praying for are very, very anti. Look at Iran. It's in red in some of these areas. And there's a lot of revivals that are moving in these countries right now. Give those saints boldness. And you're praying God's will because he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. So you're praying for them to go out. And then you're praying, Lord, remove the blinders from their eyes. Satan has blinded them that believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Remove the blinders so that when they are presented with the gospel by personal testimony, by preaching, by teaching, by Christian literature, that you would remove the blinders that they might see the light of the gospel, open their hearts, that by faith they would embrace the gospel, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then they that gladly receive your word, Lord, help them to be baptized, help them to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking the bread in prayers, and help them to go out and tell what great things God's done for them, and multiply and revive these nations, bring about a great awakening. And evidently something happens because there are people from everywhere here. And it's because of the blood. Flip back to the left to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. This is kind of cool because Revelation, you got John writing, you know. And now you got Peter writing. And these guys were the guys that hung out. They hung out with Jesus. They were with him. They know and they understand each other. They understand what they were instructed. They were there. These guys were the inner circle part of it. And then in Peter says, John, let me get in on this. And so he writes in chapter 1, look at verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible or things that will fade away, things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or lifestyle received by the tradition of your fathers, but with, look what he says, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And by the way, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This was all accomplished before he ever spoke the world into existence. I preached, I don't know how many of you would even remember this. I preached a message during COVID online. It was entitled, Before the World Was. Before anything. Before there was the curse, there was already grace. Before there was a hell, there was already a heaven. And we just started doing comparisons back and forth that what there was before the world was. He said before there was sin, correct, there was redemption to cover it already. I mean, it's incredible. That's how much he loves us, folks. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Absolutely. Friday, I was praying about what to bring for a devotion. I didn't know, I'm not a decorator, but I had something come to my mind, and I thought, you know what, I think I'm going to tell Althea and Nancy that are going to do the deck. I'm going to tell them what needs to be done. Now, I didn't say it like that. But I had an idea come up, and y'all will be able to relate to this. In case you're not going to be able to make it there, I'll give you a little hint what we're going to talk about in the devotion time. You ever answer your telephone, and then there's when you answer it and you pick it up, there's this little bit of a silence, and then you know it's coming. It's a recording. It says, wait for this. There's an important message for you, you know? And so I was thinking about that, and I remember I do what when I used to get those a lot, I do what everybody else did. I hung up, you know. But we're going to look at one verse of Scripture Friday night about the love of God. And there's a message that God is sending to us. And I don't want you to hang up. Matter of fact, I ended up, I thought, well, how do you, that's not very Valentine's Day, you know. The love of God is very, very much. Because I didn't want it to be about husbands and wives. And that's good, okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I wanted to be about God's people and their God, and God and his love for us and our love for him. So we're going to look at that. And it's a message I don't want you to hang up on. So I went ahead and ordered some cardboard. Y'all ever see those red UK, over in the UK, they have those phone booths, the old English phone booths. I got two of them. They're 5 foot tall. They're just cardboard. And I'm going to have one over here, and it'll represent God and us, and have a cord going to the two of them for connection, you know. And so I thought, well, that's still not really good. So I got a collection of old telephones. I don't know if you've been to my house, you've seen them. And so I'm going to have a couple of old phones on each table. And to make them, they don't look like Valentine's Day either. So I'm going to put hearts on them and make them look Valentine. And then I got on each phone a verse of Scripture right on the dial part. And each one of them contains the word call. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Folks, that's a loving God inviting us in love. Call me. Call me whenever you want. Wow. That's a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen? So we're going to kind of make it as much, even if I have to just stick hearts on it, it's going to look like it's something, okay? So if you look at that and say, wow, this is really weird, you'll know that Althea and Nancy did this, okay? How did I get off on that? It's your fault. You said something about man, Don. All right. So it's the precious blood here. So here we see the demands of the law. And we could continue on in Leviticus. And I'd encourage you to do it because there's a lot more in there. But that kind of gives you the idea of what was required, okay? Now, I want you to look at a very important thing here. That's the demands. Now, I want you to look at the desire of the Lord here. The desire of the Lord. Now, back in our text, in verse 44, remember, Jesus said, "See that thou say nothing to any man, go thy way, show thyself to the priest." So he's fulfilling Leviticus 14, "and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded," because he'll have to offer something himself later. And then he says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words before he's done talking with the guy. "For a testimony unto them." For a testimony unto them. I'm going to assume, and I'm just assuming, that in this time of this man being cleansed, the priest, the high priest who's over here that he's going to go show himself to, has never in his lifetime witnessed the cleansing of a leper. He's never had to look up Leviticus 14 and do, okay, this is what we have to do. It's a testimony to them, to the priests, to the religious side. He never utilized the commandments that are given in Leviticus 14. By the way, don't forget that a lot of the people on this side, the priesthood and all of that, were the ones that were against Jesus and what he said he was as the Son of God, correct? It was a religious crowd. So he's telling him, "I want you to do all these things of Leviticus 14. Go to the priest. He'll tell you what to do. And when you get there, it's going to be a testimony to them, those guys over there." But that day, he was going to the priest and he was putting, if I can use this term, he was putting the priest on notice. "Hey, so-and-so," I don't know, whoever it was, Aaron, whoever it was, "there is a guy that's waiting for you outside the camp. What you went out there for? He was full of leprosy. I've seen him before. We know his family. They come to the temple still." "Yeah, I know he's got leprosy. What about it? Why is he out there?" "He's been cleansed. I looked at him. I was there. His skin is clean and whole, and it's like new." That priest, that, or I should say even the priesthood, was put on notice that there was a man not outside the camp that was cleansed from leprosy, but there's a man in their midst who has the power to cleanse from leprosy. No man, let me think, who was it that said this? No man is able to do what you have done if God's not with him. Who knows who said that? Anybody know? Who was it that said, no man can do what this guy is doing except God be with him? Anybody remember who that was? Nicodemus, a teacher, a master in Israel. Who has the power of a man, not in early stages, so that we know that it's not something that was just a wrong diagnosis? This guy is in full-fledged leprosy. Flesh is off, limbs are gone, and he's cleansed and made whole. Who has that ability? Only one. God. No one else. What a testimony it was when that poor old leper stood there, gloriously, gloriously cleansed, probably having a hard time standing still, waiting for the priest to even come out. He wanted to go out and do more blazing abroad. And he comes and he's applying, if I can use that term, he's applying for a certificate of cleansing. I mean, as in, God can cleanse, man can only offer a certificate that has been validated. Isn't that amazing? What a testimony it is. What a testimony it is when Jesus changes a life. When Jesus heals a man. When Jesus cleanses a person that was in full-fledged leprosy. What a testimony to them. It honors him. It draws others to him. You see, Jesus could come into the city and teach, preach, all kinds of things. But when he healed that man, he couldn't go into the city any longer because others saw the cleansing. They weren't even cleansed themselves and probably went and told everybody else, and they told other people, and to where he couldn't go into town anymore and had to stay out on the acreage of land so that every quarter, north, south, east, and west, people were there because one man was cleansed and blazed abroad his testimony, and it drew others to him. Folks, I need you to understand the power of your testimony. You act like nothing really spectacular happened to you when you got saved. Well, if you don't think anything spectacular happened to share, then maybe you need to go back to the Master again, fall at his feet within hands distance, and say, if thou wilt, this time you can cleanse me so that I can now go blaze abroad. Go back home and tell your family and friends what great thing. Some of you have never even witnessed to your own family and friends. Some of you are not giving off a testimony that there's been anything happened to you. It honors him when you testify. Nobody can argue with your testimony. They can argue about Scripture. Oh, how do you know that's the Bible? How do you believe it's true? How do you know God wrote it? And they go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. No matter how much Scripture you give them, they can argue with you if they want to, right? Hey, aren't you the one that used to be that? Didn't you used to be? Weren't you a leper?
Yeah.
David understood it when David was writing in the Psalms. He wrote in Psalm chapter 40, and you jump down to verse 2 and 3. David declares what God did for him and what was the outcome, what was the testimony of it. He says, he pulled me out of a horrible pit, set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. Many, many shall see it and trust in the Lord. Matter of fact, David says, he pulled me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, that stuff that has that grip on you, pulled him out of it, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. That new song and that praise unto God is blazing abroad. And many will see it and trust in the Lord. Only because of what God did for you and you're blazing and testifying and singing. Paul and Silas are singing at midnight. They're testifying, and a man and his family gets converted. How many people are around you that would be converted if you would testify? He honors the Lord. It draws other people to him. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad that matter, that situation. What a blessing it is, first off, to have a testimony. What a blessing it is to God and to others when you share it. The testimony of the saints. I remember years ago I had an evangelist. His son went to our church, so he would stop in quite frequently. Him and my pastor were great friends. Dr. Art Wilson. When I went to Bible college, he came up there and preached a revival up there, and I got to see him again. When I took my second church in New Hampshire, I didn't know, you know, I don't know if I should invite him or not, and I just called him to see if he'd even be interested and fit into a schedule. He said, I can. By this time, when he arrives, he's in his early to mid-80s, hardly can see, never opens his Bible because he can't see it anymore, but he has everything memorized. And he was preaching a message, and he used an illustration I've never forgotten, that he was at a revival meeting, and he was staying with an old farmer and his wife and on their farm. And he goes, when we got there, he goes, we were sitting out at a nice dinner, home-cooked meal, and he goes, we went out on farmer goes, let's go out on the porch, screened-in porch, and sit down. And we got some rockers out there. He goes, we went out there and was rocking. He goes, I noticed this hanging up on the post of the porch was this great big ear of corn. He goes, it was the biggest ear of corn I've ever seen. He goes, and not only was it big, but he goes, I could not put my fingers where they could touch. They would not touch going around it. And he goes, and on the area where it was pulled off, the stem or whatever they call that, he goes, it was a great big old blue ribbon. He goes, I started looking at that thing, and he goes, before I said a word, he goes, that farmer says, he goes, first place, state fair, biggest ear of corn recorded in our area. He goes, wow, that's amazing. He goes, how many kernels of corn are on that ear? And he said it was a high, high number. I can't remember, 1,200, I don't remember. It was a lot. He goes, and I begin to think when Jesus came in to town and he begins, they're waiting for him as they're greeting him, Hosanna, son of David, you know. They're waiting for this great political guy to come into town, and he stops riding on that donkey and they're waiting for a great political speech. He says, a grain of corn falls to the ground and it abides alone. But if it abides alone, it will die and bring forth much fruit. He goes, and I began to think about that ear of corn. And he goes, I began to think, kernel number 73 cups its mouth and cries out, hey, kernel, 762, how did you get here? And it cries back to kernel 73, one died for me. And another kernel, number 816, cries out to kernel number 3, hey, kernel number 3, how did you get here? And it cries back, one died for me. And you know, how did you get here, Don? How did you get here, Peggy? How did you get here, Effie? How did any of you get here? One abided alone and brought forth much fruit. Every tribe, tongue, people. I don't know. We always assume, I assumed on a couple of occasions that everybody that I saw before they passed off into eternity that went to my church, I assumed they were saved. I've shared with you at least two people that I found out when they were ready to go, they were just days from passing off into eternity. I just always verify just to make sure. Amen? And I had two of them out of the many, many that said that I don't think so. Imagine if they would not have had that opportunity for a second opportunity, thinking that they're going to heaven and would have opened up their eyes in torment. And so I think of this situation here. If there's anybody here this afternoon that's like this poor leper, you're diseased spiritually. and you need help being set free, being cleansed. Jesus, I want to say, is still in the life-changing business. He can save your soul. It says here, and as soon as he had spoken, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Boom, it happened. You can have the assurance of salvation. Man, if I would want that if I don't have anything in me wanting to go testify of anything. If I'm sitting here thinking I don't ever testify of what God's done for me, that would bother me. Because there should be something if we really believed and truly trusted, and it's not just, I know I'm going to heaven because my parents told me I prayed this prayer. If that's all you got, you're in bad shape. Understand, it's the people that are standing before the Lord, and he says, I never knew you, were people who thought they were saved going to heaven. It wasn't the lost world that's saying that he's saying that to. It's those who are thinking that they're Christian, but if they never had a testimony to declare, I would be concerned. If you're not telling others about what Jesus did for you, you say, well, that's not my personality. It's not supposed to be your personality. It's the Spirit of God who's working in you to do and to will and to do of his good pleasure. If he is dealing with your heart, he's still only an arm's length away. He would come to you right now as the prodigal's father ran to him. And he would change your life. He would say, I will. Be thou clean. I took care of that for you before the foundation of the world, and I've just been waiting for you to come. Moments with the Master. This was a transforming moment in this man's life, and it impacted probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And he was a no-name man. No name given here. Say, well, nobody knows me. Doesn't matter. You can be just as impactful if you'll let Jesus be glorified in it. Our Father, we come to you this afternoon thanking you for your word. Father, if there is anybody here that you're speaking to about their need of salvation, may they not shrug it. May they repent and believe the gospel. You said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, this leper could have stayed in the colony thinking, what's the use? But he came to Jesus. He came to the right person. And you transformed his life. I think there are lives today that need transforming. But there are those who have been transformed. And we rejoice and we praise you for that. But we're not testifying. We're not blazing abroad like we could be. May we confess that as sin and not doing your will. And may you move in us. May we grab some gospel literature. May we go and memorize scripture that would prepare us for sharing the good news. Do something in us to make us usable and of. You said that there are vessels in every house, some to honor and some to dishonor. May we become vessels of honor. And we'll be sure to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.